Priests always say that, and then they keep talking and talking. But you know what I mean. We got to keep our...
You have better things to say.
I doubt it. The other thing I wanted to mention was this was a wonderful meal, wasn't it? And you're probably asking yourself, if you haven't already, how can I show my appreciation to Father Ian? Were you thinking about that?
Of course.
What you could do, because they have the same requirements here as any household of God does. If you'd like to donate to the monastery or help out with the cost or anything like that, there's a kind of an orange basket over there, so if you're so inclined, please.
In a box square.
So, points of discussion. Anyone have anything they'd like to begin with? Robert?
Yeah, how do you balance or reconcile? You know, we talk about the laws and the commandments of God, kind of like the rules, you know, for Lent, with the grace on the other side. You know, as a Protestant, you kind of go to the extreme of the grace side sometimes, and it's easy sometimes to get too legalistic on the other side, where it's all about like being like a Pharisee of doing all these outward things. I have trouble sometimes balancing those extremes and integrating it too.
That was Father Timothy's area.
Well, see, I think perhaps I may be reading too much into your question, but it seems that you are, when you say laws or commandments, I feel like what you're having in mind there are more disciplines, because the commandments of God are grace-giving, they're life-giving. The commandments of God, as we enumerated and we talked to them, what were they? Don't just not murder, but free your heart from every anger and resentment. Don't just avoid adultery, but purify your heart. To pray for those who do you ill, and do good to them. These are all things that are grace giving. We talk about what I suspect behind your question. You have to tell me the disciplines of the church in terms of we refrain from meat and dairy, alcohol, and you're really doing well from oil as well. This is a spiritual practice that the church invites us to participate in, so that when the Lord says, when you fast, we have a way in which to enter into that. To the degree that we are able to, we strive to enter into that. This is where I think it's a misplaced notion of saying, well, there's a law and there's grace. I guess I heard the second hand, but I have a Methodist brother-in-law, and I had heard him mention something about being Orthodox. I said, well, I'm glad we're Methodist, because grace abounds and you move on with your life. it doesn't compute. Because for us, striving to live a life of prayer, of fasting, of asceticism, helps us to draw closer to God. It's all the ways in which the Lord invites us, to the degree to which we can participate in it. Now, we're not all going for various reasons of health or just spiritual strength and experience. We can't all enter into it to the same degree. Some people, for many, it can be a great struggle simply to keep the... to avoid meat and dairy let alone beginning to reduce the portions. There are those in times old who would refrain every day from until the evening meal during the weekdays of Lent. And I doubt there are many who can do this nowadays. But yet the invitation of the church is, to the degree that we can, to enter into these disciplines that help us draw closer to the Lord. Before I say more, is this getting to the... So again, it's not a commandment of God that we avoid X food on X day. This is a discipline the church invites us, so that we can fulfill the commandments of the Lord in the right spirit. What the Lord commands us is the spirit of how we fast, to not do it for display among men, but that we may do it in secret unto the Lord, to draw closer to Him.
Yes, Jim? Yeah.
So I have two questions. One is kind of a larger level, and one is specific on the Sermon on the Mount. At the beginning, where we have the blessed are the blank, for they shall blank. So this larger category one would be like, it always seemed very transactional to me. And I don't know if that's just me superimposing that on it. But I wanted to get feedback on that. And then more specifically on the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It seems like we are supposed to, not seek to or gain earthly things, but that we are disconnecting ourselves from earthly things in many ways and striving towards theosis and these things. So how does that work, and what does it mean by the earth? So two questions.
Good questions. Would you like to start this one, Bob?
Well, let's do blessed are the meek, and then we'll do the other one.
Okay.
I guess about one. let me ask it again, the first question. Okay, would you?
It sounds transactional in a way.
How do you mean transactional? If you do this, I'll do that.
If you do this, I'll do that. Kind of a thing, yes.
Yeah. Old Testament.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe it is.
Well, to some degree, I suppose it is, but the word transactional, of course, tends to be a legal term, doesn't it? Almost. And we know, I think, in historically with the Orthodox Church, the way of understanding God's relationship to man, to human beings, is different, isn't it? In this sense that it really is, we form a living relationship with God. In other words, the teaching is, and this is from the scriptures, that, and the claim is that we're capable as human beings, flesh and spirit and mind and all of the things that we are, we're kind of a world in miniature, aren't we? That's all of the things that we are. We are capable of interacting with God. And that therefore, the virtues, so to speak, that we're called upon to participate in, like meekness, is arrived at through ultimately that living relationship. Now we have to figure out, don't we, how to act meekly. And does that mean being someone that everybody steps on? I don't think so. But it could under such circumstances, but it does mean what? That we to be meek is to be humble, to be kind, to listen to others, not to be insistent necessarily. On the other hand, to be meek requires courage in the midst of kind of a temptation to sort of raise our presence up. You know what I mean? And so our Lord says to us, learn from me, right? Because I am meek and humble of heart, right? Yeah. So learn from me. In other words, and what does that mean? Well, that means in effect that in meekness, therefore, we throw off the burdens of this world, kind of like what we were talking about before, serving God and mammon.